This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the very late 1960s, there was a researcher from Stanford University by the name of Walter Michel. And what he did in his long-term study was that he brought together marshmallows and he presented them to a group of very hungry four-year-olds. And he said to them that you've got two options. Option number one, you eat it now and you don't get a second marshmallow. Option number two, you delay the desire to gobble it up. And when I come back, I promise you two marshmallows. And so he walked out of the room and he began to observe. And it's amazing because it's on YouTube and you can see the outcome. It's quite funny. So some of those children couldn't bear the desire and they gobbled up the marshmallow there and then. Other children turned their back on the marshmallow. They couldn't bear looking at it. Other kids started to talk to themselves. Others were singing to themselves to distract themselves from this temptation. There were some children who were even seen licking circles around the marshmallow in the hope of, you know, tapping into the marshmallow accidentally along the way. It's hilarious. And then what he did was that he came back to those children after 14 years. So how old are they now? They're 18 years old. And he began to study them. And he found that the children who gobbled up the marshmallow there and then and were not able to delay instant gratification, their patience was minimal. He found that these children were defined by restlessness. They were anxious. They were a lot more prone to jealousy. Their coping mechanisms were weak. They didn't do that well in school. They had quite high body mass index. And they were quite unreliable. And then they found that the other children who were able to delay that gratification, i.e. they were a little bit more patient, their parents and teachers described them as being reliable, assertive, focused, composed, collected, their grades in school were better, and they had a lower body mass index. Now, fast forward onto the 21st century, into our times today, and you see that the instant gratification system has become the norm in the lives of most of us. And we don't know what life looks like without it. Think about it, especially this generation that I see in front of me. I mean, have you ever heard of someone writing a letter and waiting months to get a response from his lover, his friend, his parent? We know of emails, we know of text messages, we know of instant response. You post something on socials, there and then you get a response. You need a book, you don't have to make your way to the library anymore. Online, at your fingertips, all of the information is there. You're hungry. You don't need to buy ingredients. You don't need to saute anything in a pan. Click of a button, just eat, Deliveroo. You've even got now Amazon 2022. This year, they're investing in drone technology because they are saying that customers are too impatient for next day deliveries. They're talking now about same day delivery. So we are looking at a generation that's going to suffer in the future, as patience is crippled in the lives of the 21st century man and woman. So when you put all of this together, right, you put the fact that Walter Michel in his study showed you what instant gratification can do and what it says about a child, and then you add that with what instant gratification has become today. It's oozed into every part of our society. We demand instant response and we demand instant removal of pain. No pain can remain. The threshold has gone so low. And then you add to that a third factor, which is how we were created. How were we created? خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man was created in haste. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Man, by his nature, is hasty. When you put those three things together, you begin to see a very worrying trend. People who don't know how to be patient, and people who are definitely going to struggle later on in life. So it is key from time to time to bring up topics like this. Sabr, patience. What do we know about sabr? In terms of its meaning, from a linguistic perspective, the scholars, they say that as-sabr, originally it means al-habsu, to restrain something, to retain it, to limit it from movement. That is what sabr means linguistically. The Arabs, they say, kullu man sabara shay'an faqad habasahu. Everyone who exposes sabr to something, it means that you have restrained it. You expose sabr to something, it means you have limited it. You've binded it. From a technical perspective, i.e. what is the sabr that we are talking about religiously? Here is the definition. And then you measure yourself against it to know whether you are a patient or an impatient person. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that as-sabr is as follows. He said, as-sabru huwa habsu nafsi ani al-jaza' wa habsu al-lisani ani al-tashakki wa habsu al-jawarihi ani al-tashwish. He said, sabr, patience, is to restrain your soul from impatience and to restrain your mouth from complaining and to restrain your limbs from sin. So sabr is something you do in your heart. You're composed. You don't rush for things to happen when they are supposed to happen, when they are not supposed to happen. Number two, patience is with your words. You don't complain of Allah to people. And number three, patience is with your limbs. You carry out the obligations and you limit them, you bind them, you restrain them from haram. All of that is covered by patience. Patience, therefore, covers every aspect of life. What is life? Obligation, prohibition, qadr, decrees of Allah. Does anything, is anything outside of these three categories? And patience covers them all. They say patience is sabru ala al-ma'mur, to be patient towards the commandments of Allah. As-sabru ala al-mahdhur, to be patient towards the prohibitions of Allah. Number three, as-sabru ala al-maqdur, patience towards the decrees of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu that may affect you in your life. So sabr is an umbrella term that covers every aspect of human experience. This is as-sabr from a linguistic perspective and a technical perspective. Also, for those who want to compare sabr against shukr, gratitude, patience versus gratitude. Wherever you find patience, you will usually find the topic of gratitude. And where you see gratitude, patience will follow. And even in the Quran, they are paired up a lot. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. There are signs in this for every patient, grateful person. They come side by side a lot. So there is this classical discussion, which of the two is more virtuous, patience or gratitude? So there are some of the scholars who've said that patience is more virtuous than gratitude. And they say, I mean, it's a long discussion. I'm just summarizing it for you. They say that the Quran has spoken about patience far more than it has about gratitude. As Imam Ahmad said, in 90 places in the Quran, Allah speaks about sabr. And they also say that with gratitude, Allah has spoken about the reward as being what? لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I'll give you more. But then when he spoke about the reward for patience, what did he say? يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They will be given their reward without measure. Limitless. Allahu Akbar. So they say, how can they be the same? Others of the scholars, they said, no. They said gratitude is greater than patience. What was their argument? They say that Allah has divided humanity into two camps. The shakir, the grateful one, and the kafir, the ungrateful one. So if the kafir, the ungrateful one, is the most disliked of all people to Allah, who is the most beloved to him? The shakir, the grateful one. So they say, how can you say it is patience is better? And they also say that with sabr, patience, it's a means, it's a wasila, it's a means, it's a stairway to something. Whereas gratitude is what? Is an end, is an objective. Did you get that? So you don't search for patience in of itself. You only search for patience as far as it will take you to a destination, which is gratitude, contentment, whatever it may be. So patience is a vehicle, whereas gratitude is what? A destination. It's something that you want to achieve in of itself. A shukr. Then there is the third party, right? These are the arbitrator's uncle. And they say, neither one of them has more virtue over the other. The most virtuous of the two people, the patient and the grateful, is the one who has most taqwa, the one who is most conscious of Allah. That's what Shaykhul Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Al-Qayyim and others have said. You may have someone who is poor and he's patient, and therefore he is more virtuous in the eyes of Allah of someone who is rich and grateful. But the opposite is true. There may be someone who is rich and grateful, but he is more virtuous in Allah's eyes than someone who is poor and patient. So what is the defining factor? It's not gratitude or patience. They have no virtue in of themselves. The real virtue is in taqwa. So the one who has most taqwa, consciousness, fear of Allah Almighty, mindfulness of Him, staying within His limits, this is the most virtuous of Allah, whether you call Him patient or whether you call Him grateful. Is this clear? Inna akramakum and Allahi atqakum. The most honorable one in the eyes of Allah, the most honorable one of you in the eyes of Allah is he who has most taqwa. Now if you ask about the status of the topic of sabr, or the status of the virtue of sabr. And why is it important to mention this? Although the topic seems standard, remember that the virtue of sabr, patience, is not something that is publicly demonstrated. It's the opposite that's demonstrated, impatience. I mean, patience is something that you do behind closed doors. It's not a virtue that will make you into a celebrity in the eyes of the people. Patience is something that a father does when he's reading his son the bedtime story for the third time in a row in one night. That's patience. Who sees that? Patience is in the mother who's rocking the cot of her child all night. Who sees that? Sabr, that's sabr. Someone who prays, although he's really tired. Someone who's fasting, no one knows that he's fasting or she's fasting. That's where patience is. So no one celebrates that because you can't see it. Right? Who are the ones who grab the headlines? Who are the ones who got the most followers on socials? Not the impatient ones. The ones who are grumbling when there is a slow-moving queue. The ones who are honking their car when there is a traffic jam. Right? The ones who are demanding their food because it's cold or there's a hair in it or you know it's taking so long or the food has come cold. The impatient ones, they are the ones who usually grab the headlines. And that's why you've got these epic films about you know, revenge and courage and might and all of it. But have you come across a film about patience? That's going to be a bit of a snoozer, right? So it's not something that people celebrate. And that's why our religion, subhanAllah, takes a completely different perspective on the topic of sabr. And it brings it to the forefront. And it makes it a crown on the head of the believer. And I will share the status of the topic of sabr in our religion under several headings. The first of them, the emphasis of the Qur'an on the topic of patience. It is blindingly obvious for those of you who recite this book with contemplation that sabr has a special status in the eyes of the Sharia. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said, ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ صَبْرَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فِي 90 مَوْضِعًا. Allah has mentioned the topic of sabr in the Qur'an in 90 different passages. And look at how Allah in the book connects the topic of patience to so many different things. It's inescapable. And to keep it appetizing for those who want to live a life of patience. At times, the Quran connects patience to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty said, Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves those who are patient. Many times people crumble during their adversity because they feel that they are lacking love. And here Allah the Mighty is saying, you don't have to worry about that. Because if you're patient, I will be the one who will love you. What more in life could you want? At times the Quran links patience to the ma'iyyah, the nearness or the togetherness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who are patient. Again, people crumble during tough times because they feel alone, deserted. No one is supporting. No one believes in me. Everyone's forsaken me. Allah says, you don't have to worry. I am with you. La ilaha illallah. That's number two. Number three, at times the Quran links patience with a commandment. Allah said, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient with the command of your Lord. That's an instruction. At times, the Quran connects impatience with the prohibition. Allah said, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. Don't be like the man of the fish. Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, the noon. What was the issue there? It was impatience. Don't be like the man of the fish, Allah said to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At times the Quran connects patience to the greatest of all acts of worship, salah. Allah Almighty said, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek help in patience and in salah. Pause there for a moment. Look, don't see patience as an added burden in your life, an added responsibility that's causing you a headache. No, you are being told to see patience as your life raft, as what will help you navigate through the difficulties of world. What is a fire extinguisher when there is a fire in the building? It's your lifeline. What is your raft when you're drowning? It is your lifeline. So Allah is saying to you, use patience as a lifeline. Use it as a vehicle to help you maneuver during the tough times in your life. It is what will help you. Salah and patience. At times the Quran connects patience with your ability to see the signs of Allah around you and spot them. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. There are signs in this for every patient and grateful person. Who are the ones who will see the signs? The patient ones. At times, the Quran connects patience to success. Allah said, اصبروا, be patient. وصابروا, and endure. ورابطوا, and stand on guard. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And be mindful of Allah so that you may be successful. It links patience to success. At times the Quran links patience, sabr, with a reward to incentivize patience. Allah said about a people, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. They will be given their reward twice, double, because of their patience. At times, the Quran connects patience to leadership in the religion. Allah said, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. We made of them leaders, guiding by our command when they were patient and when they had certainty in their signs. These are the ingredients for leadership. Patience and yaqeen, certainty in Allah. At times Allah Jalla Jalaluhu connects patience to victory, triumph over an enemy. Allah said about the children of Israel, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. The noble word of your Lord was fulfilled for the children of Israel because of their patience. At times the Quran connects patience to bishara, good news. Allah said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give good news to the patient ones. Look at the psychology of the book of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. Many a times when you go to someone who's grieving, who's going through a tough time in their life, the knee-jerk reaction is to kind of wail for them, to cry for them, to sympathize with them, to say to them things like, I know how you're feeling, it must be tough, you're in a dark place, God help you, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. The Quranic narrative is completely different. It flips it over onto its head. It says, no, give good news to those who are suffering. Give good news to those who are patient. Keep them smiling. In fact, the word bashir, give good news, has a shared root with bishir. And bishir means a smiley face, a radiant face. So make the one who is suffering smile. Go to those who need patience. Make them smile. Say, congratulations, you are suffering. Therefore, you have been chosen by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Look at the psychology of the Quran and how uplifting the book of Allah is. La ilaha illallah. So look at how the Quran gives a huge attention to the topic of sabr and connects it to every one of the domains of life. This is the first thing that makes the topic of sabr so noticeably important, the Quranic attention, and what it links it with. Number two, sabr, patience, is the greatest gift that a human being can receive from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is why An-Nasa'i narrates in his Sunan on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that a group of the Ansar once came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and they made financial requests. He gave them. They made a second request. He gave them, and a third, and he gave them. Then he had nothing left to give them. And then he said to them, listen to these words. مَا يَكُونُ عِنْدِي مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلَنْ أَدَّخِرَهُ عَنْكُمْ. Any good that I may possess, I'm not going to withhold it from you. And then he says to them, وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهُ. But whoever seeks to not ask favors of people, Allah will help him reach that station. وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهُ. And whoever wants financial independence, tries to get it, Allah will give him financial independence. Then he said, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. And whoever seeks to become patient, Allah will help him become patient. And then he said, listen to this, my dear brothers and sisters. وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. And no one can be given a gift that is better and more comprehensive than the gift of patience. لا إله إلا الله. So this is number two. There is no gift that is greater than that of sabr, patience. Number three, sabr, patience, enters with you into every one of the departments of life. In the sense that there is a different Arabic word to describe patience according to your context, what you are doing. Allow me to demonstrate, and you will see how mighty this virtue is in the eyes of our Sharia. We said that patience is about what? Restraint. طيب. So when you are restraining yourself from excessive indulgence in worldly matters, that patience has a name. It's called zuhd, minimalism. Special name for patience. When, however, your restraint is from a prohibited sexual appetite, that patience also has a name. It's called what? Iffah, chastity. When your restraint is from rage, that patience also has a name. It's called hilm, forbearance. When that restraint is from stinginess, that patience is called jood, generosity. When that patience or that restraint is from food and drink, that patience has a name. It's called sawm, fasting. When that restraint is from lumping your problems on other people and not dealing with it yourself, that patience is called muru'ah, decency. When that restraint is from behaving in a cowardly manner, that patience is called shaja'ah, courage. So on and so forth. So there is a different name for sabr, patience. According to what it is in life that you are doing, patience will follow you. And a different name applies, and the umbrella term that covers all of it is called sabr, patience. So you see that all of the maqamat, the stations of the religion, can be traced back to sabr, patience. Allahu Akbar. That's number what, brothers? This is number three. We said number one, the Quranic attention on sabr is phenomenal, linking it with so many things. Number two, it's the greatest gift a man could receive. Number three, it walks with you in every one of the domains of life. Number four, it is a way of triumph over your oppressor and enemy. Now don't get me wrong, this isn't our religion saying you got to behave in a passive way. No, you got to do what you got to do, and you got to plan and take your means and measures. But as you do that, you are defined by what? You are defined by patience. And what is the outcome? The outcome is as described by Allah. إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ. If good touches you, O believers, it harms them. وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَحُ بِهَا. But when evil touches you, it makes your enemies happy. Then Allah said, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, but if you have sabr, patience, وَتَتَّقُوا, and you're mindful of Allah, لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا, their scheming is not going to harm you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا, and Allah is encompassing of what they do. So whether that enemy is an all-out external enemy, whether it's someone claiming to be a Muslim, he or she are hypocrite, a hypocrite in reality, going against the Islamic cause. Or whether it's a Muslim, a real Muslim, but they're causing you harm and oppressing you and being a means of injustice. Realize that with sabr, their scheming will not harm you. This is the promise of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That's number what? Four. Number five, those who are patient are promised by Allah an ability to see His signs in the universe. And not everybody enjoys this sixth sense. Whether these signs of Allah are within a class like this, people differ to what extent they benefit. Whether these signs of Allah are during a moment when you are reciting the Quran, people differ in that experience. Whether those signs of Allah is during your study of science or history, the signs of Allah in there, the histories of nations of the past. Whether the signs of Allah are in the universe and you observing the world around you when walking through a park, your ability to take as much of these signs as you can and flourish and grow because of them is hinged on your sabr, your patience. Ya Allah, that is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ الْفُلْكَ تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ لِيُرِيَكُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Have you not seen how Allah allows the ships to sail on the oceans by His favor? So that He may show you from His signs. Then Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Indeed, there are signs in this for every patient and grateful person. Who will see the signs? The patient ones. It makes sense, by the way. It's not random. The one who is patient is limiting his limbs from doing haram. The one who is patient is forcing herself to wear the hijab. The one who is patient is forcing himself, herself to pray, to carry out the obligations. That then purifies your heart. And with a pure heart, you're able to see these signs of Allah and your cognition opens up to new heights. Patience allows you to see the signs of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And I remember the ayah from Surah Ibrahim. What does Allah say? وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا. We sent Moses with our signs. أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Saying to him, go and bring out your community from the dark into the light. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. There are signs in this for every patient and grateful person. Who will see the signs of Allah? The patient one. What else? The Quran does not specify a reward for patience. This is another one of its virtues that shows you its standing in the religion. As Ibn Juzay al-Kalbi, rahimahullah, he said, كُلُّ الْحَسَنَاتِ لَهَا أَجْرٌ مَحْصُورٌ. Every good deed has a specified reward. Sometimes it's tenfold, sometimes it's 700-fold. He said, with the exception to patience, فَإِنَّهُ لَا حَصْرَ لَهُ. There is no limit to the reward of patience. Because Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The patient ones will be given their reward without account, without measure. لا إله إلا الله. And that is why Allah Almighty, He said about fasting. What is fasting about? Patience. Allah Almighty said, كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. Every one of the good deeds that you do, Allah says, that will be for you. Except fasting, that is for me and I will reward for it. I will reward it. Imagine someone who says, I don't know, a businessman or a king or somebody who has authority on the land. This person give them their wage and this person pay them that much. As for so-and-so, don't pay him anything. I'm going to take care of his reimbursement. You hear that, you think, why don't you take care of my reimbursement as well? Right? That's mine. So Allah is saying, accept fasting. That is for me and I will reward for it. Why? Because fasting is about patience and Allah gives the reward of patience without measure. What else? That gives us this indication that fasting is a that patience is a special virtue in our religion. There is no reward for patience except Jannah. That is the ultimate reward. And perhaps you've noticed in the Quran how many times paradise is linked to the topic of patience. In fact, Allah tells us what the angels will say to you and I, inshallah, if Allah allows us Jannah. What will the angels say? وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدُخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ Allah said, angels will enter upon them from every door. What will they say? سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ Peace be upon you because of your patience. Peace be upon you because of your patience. So according to the angels, the people of Jannah have made it there because of their patience. Allah Almighty said, Surah Al-Mu'minun, إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ I have rewarded them on this day because of their patience, that they are the successful ones. And in Surah Al-Insan, what does Allah say? وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا And He will reward them because of their patience, gardens and silk. And you will say to me, by the way, why gardens and silk for those who are patient? What's the link? Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, is very obvious. Patience is hot. Patience burns. Patience is scorching. It's not easy. So Allah says, we give you gardens. You cool off there. And then patience is coarse. It's rough. And so Allah says, we give you silk. And we have rewarded them because of their patience, gardens and silk. La ilaha illallah. Now, of course, naturally, to unlock all of these bounties, these opportunities and gifts, we have to carry out proper sabr, proper patience. And that proper patience has conditions. So what are the conditions of patience? The first of them is al-ikhlas, sincerity. Meaning your patience has to be for the sake of Allah. Because it's true, you can be patient for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is possible. Patiently waiting for a haram business transaction to come through. He's patient, but it's not for Allah, it's for Iblis. Right? Patiently waiting your shisha to be served to your table. Patient, not complaining, not going to kick up a fuss, not going to demand a refund. But this is not for Allah. Patient so that people say you are patient. Showing off, that's not for Allah. Patiently waiting for her to respond to your DM. That's patience. It's not for Allah. First condition is that the patient has to be for who? وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ Allah said, for your Lord be patient. And He said, وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا بِتِغَاءَ وَجِهِ رَبِّهِمْ And those who are patient seeking the face of their Lord. Nobody else's face or acceptance. So that's condition number one. Patience, for it to be true, it has to be for whose sake? Purely for Allah's sake. Number two, عَدَمُ شَكْوَ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ To not complain of Allah to people. Do not complain of Allah to people. Now, focus with me here, brothers and sisters. We're talking about a condition. Meaning, if it's not there, the building is not there. To not complain of Allah to people. I'm not talking about normal complaining when you're going through a tough time. I guess to some extent we all do that, but we vary. This is tough, I'm finding it hard. I'm suffering, it really hurts. It's been a while. We do that. That's not what I'm speaking about. Although ideally, footnote, ideally, we should not complain of our problems to anyone but Allah, not even people. Ideally speaking, if you can. And that's why uncle, when they... Allah Almighty said that Prophet Yaqub said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ I will show beautiful patience. What is the beautiful patience? The predecessors, they said, it means it is a patience that involves no complaining. So that's an ideal. What we are speaking about here, i.e. the condition, is when you don't complain of Allah to people. Why is Allah doing this to me? For how much longer do I have to experience this? Doesn't He know that I can't bear this? That is complaining of Allah to people. And that removes the building of patience. And that is why in a beautiful hadith, I think some of you will hear it for the first time, which Al-Bayhaqi narrates on the authority of Al-Hakim, which Al-Bayhaqi narrates and Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak on the authority of Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah Almighty said, إِذَا بَتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, if I trial my believing servant, I test him. فَلَمْ يَشْكُنِي إِلَىٰ عُوَادِهِ, and he does not complain of me to those who visit him when he's ill. أَطْلَقْتُهُ مِنْ إِسَارِي, I will release him from the shackles of that illness. وَأَبْدَلْتُهُ لَحْمًا خَيْرًا مِنْ لَحْمِهِ وَدَمًا خَيْرًا مِنْ دَمِهِ, and I will replace his ill skin with new skin and his ill blood with new blood. ثُمَّ يَسْتَأْنِفُ الْعَمَلِ, then he will begin afresh, i.e. with no sin to his name. But what was the condition? What was the condition for the full recovery, and what was the condition for the erasure of sins? You do not complain of Allah to those who visit you. That's condition number what? Two. What was condition number one? Ikhlas. Condition number two? Not complain of Allah to people. Condition number three? What is it? أن يكون في أوانه, that your patience is at the appropriate time. I.e. your patience is when the calamity first strikes, not 10 minutes later, after you've kicked up a huge fuss and you've emptied the kitchen cupboards on everyone's head. Right? That was when the calamity first strikes. And that is why Allah tells us about the people of hell when they roast, what will they say? وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, God forbid. They will say, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. It is the same for us now, whether we are impatient or patient. There is no escape. In other words, there's no point us being patient now. There is no escape. And Allah will say to them, إِصْلَوْهَا, enter the hellfire. فَاصْبِرُوا, be patient. أَوْ لَا تَصْبِرُوا, oh, don't be patient. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, it will be the same. The time for patience has gone. Now it's just burning and suffering, God forbid. So that's condition number three, that a patience has to be when the time is right. And that's why in the hadith of Anas, when the Prophet ﷺ came across a woman who was in a graveyard crying over a grave, a child of hers that she'd lost, he said to her, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَاصْبِرِي. He came up from behind and he said to her, be mindful of Allah, be patient. She said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي, go away. إِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي وَلَمْ تَعْرِفُهُ, you were not touched by my affliction. You don't know what I'm going through. She didn't know. It was the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ behind her. He didn't respond. That is what I find fascinating here, by the way. He didn't respond. It's like he acknowledged that during a time of shock and adversity, not everyone will behave the right way. When someone's going through an initial shock, don't expect everyone to be the well-behaved Muslim that you know them to be. Expect erratic behavior. Understand that. He did that. So she spoke in this disrespectful way. He didn't say to her, I am the messenger of God. No. He walked away. Then somebody came to her and said, that was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she got up. She made her way to his house. The narration said, فَلَمْ تَجِدْ عِنْدَهُ بَوَّابِينَ. She found that there were no guards guarding his house. And she came in and she said, إِنِّي لَمْ أَعْرِفْكَ. I didn't know it was you. What did he say? إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. He said, patience is when the calamity first strikes. Not now. Patience is when the calamity first strikes. So, something frustrates you, annoys you, something doesn't go your way, a terrible diagnosis, you kick up a huge fuss and you destroy things, you break and you smash and you swear. And then you say, well, I guess I better be patient, inshallah. No, the time is gone for patience. Now what you need is tawbah, to say astaghfirullah. And then do your best. So these are the three conditions for patience. To share with you one or two stories of the people of patience. Because it always helps, doesn't it? When you hear of the stories of those before you, it helps you walk in their footsteps. Who was more patient than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who suffered more than him? Every shade of every trial of life was given to him so that Allah may give him every shade and color of pleasure in Jannah. Think about it. He came into our world without a father. He was an orphan. His dad died before he could even meet him. Then at the age of 6, he saw his mother breathe her last in the deserts of Arabia when they came back from a trip visiting his uncles. He saw her die. Then he was transferred over to his grandfather's care. He loved him so much. At the age of 8, 2 years later, his grandfather dies. And then he is transferred into the care of his uncle, Abu Talib. And he loves him so much. Yet Abu Talib does not become a Muslim, and he sees him dying as well, but this time without Islam. And then he sees the death of his wife Khadija. And he sees the death of his wife Zainab bint Khuzaymah. And he buries every single one of his children. They all die during his life, mostly as toddlers, with the exception to Fatima. And even her, he was told that you should tell her, you will be the first one to die after me. And indeed she died 6 months after he passed away. And then Allah gave him grandchildren as a compensation, but his enjoyment would be limited there, because he would receive information through wahi revelation that they are going to die a gruesome, cruel death. So he would kiss them and sniff them and carry them on the pulpit. And he knew that these are men that are not going to last till their full age. And he would see his companions' corpses carpeting the battlefield. That's difficult for a human being. And the intestines of animals would be placed on his neck as he prostrated to Allah. And Fatima would come and clear it and cry and make dua against those who did this. And Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt would suffocate the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he was in salah till he almost breathed his last. And he and his tribe were trapped in a valley and boycotted for about 3 years. And many companions died because of that, and Khadija's health deteriorated fatally because of that siege. How much can man take? Then he was accused with regards to his sanity, accused with regards to his mind, accused with regards to his health. He was accused of being a madman, a soothsayer, bewitched, storyteller, poet, forging stories of the people of the past. Thorns would be placed in his way in front of his home. Stones would be hurled at him when going to the city of Ta'if, and his only crime was wanting to save them from hell. Hemorrhage would be something that he would experience on numerous occasions during battles. News was conveyed that he was killed on the day of Uhud. That's how badly he bled. And towards the end of his life, he had to pray, sat down, because his feet were too tired. They couldn't carry him anymore, alayhi salatu wasalam. Despite all of that, what were his favorite words? يُعْجِبُنِ الْفَعْلِ. I love optimism. لَقَدْ أُخِفْتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُخَافُ أَحَدٍ, he said. I was subjected to fear in the path of Allah at a time when nobody else was made to be afraid. وَلَقَدْ أُذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُؤْذَى أَحَدٍ. And I was harmed in the path of Allah at a time when nobody else was harmed. وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْ عَلَيَّ ثَلَاثُونَ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. And I remember a time in my life when 30 days and nights passed by. وَمَا لِي وَلِبِلَالٍ طَعَامٌ يَأْكُلُهُ ذُو كَبِدٍ. And me and Bilal had no food to eat. إِلَّا شَيْءٌ يُوَارِيهِ إِبِطُ بِلَالٍ. Except what little food Bilal was able to smuggle for us both under his arm. The most patient of all men was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when you speak about his sahaba, it is simply impossible to enumerate the accounts of patience. Why? Because the sahaba, to describe them in one sentence, were a generation who sold their lives, their property, their souls, their family for the cause of Allah and the support of Islam. So all of it was a story of sabr. But if you wanted to summarize their patience in just one sentence, I give you the words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who depicts it so graphically yet so beautifully. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, the very first people to make their Islam public were 7. No one dared to do that before them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Ammar ibn Yasir, his mother Sumayya, Suhayb al-Ruli, al-Rumi, Bilal ibn Rabah al-Miqdad. He said they were the first 7 to dare to openly declare to them, polytheist Meccans, we are Muslims. Ibn Mas'ud then says, As for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, فَمَنَعَهُمَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمِهُمَا, Allah Almighty protected them both by way of their tribes. All of that harm that I described to you, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, that was with the protection of his tribe. So what about the others who had no protection, who came from noble tribes, no noble tribes? He said, as for Abu Bakr and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah protected them through their tribes. As for the other five, فَأَخَذَهُمُ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, the pagans seized them. وَأَلْبَسُوهُمْ أَدْرَاعَ الْحَدِيدِ, and they clothed them with iron cladding. وَصَهَرُوهُمْ فِي الشَّمْسِ, and they scorched them in the Arabian desert sun. فَمَا مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَأَجَابَهُمْ إِلَى مَا أَرَادُوا, and as a result of that duress, every one of them confessed and testified to the false beliefs of the pagans. It was huge torture. He said, إِلَّا بِلَال, except one man, Bilal. هَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ نَفْسُهُ فِي اللَّهِ, Bilal, he said, was a man who considered his soul cheap in the path of Allah. وَهَانَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ, and indeed he was cheap in the eyes of his community. And so they handed him over to the children of Mecca in chains, dragging him through the valleys of Mecca. And the only thing Bilal was saying was, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. I'll never associate a partner with him. And the other story I wanted to share with you, this is from the Tabi'in. The very famous story of Urwa ibn Zubayr, the son of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, who was promised paradise. Urwa ibn Zubayr, he's a tabi'i, second generation Muslim, a muhaddith, scholar of hadith, mu'arrikh, a historian, one of the seven famous jurists of Medina. Urwa, a very righteous worshipper and scholar of the religion. And he has a fascinating story pertaining to patience. Urwa was traveling from Medina to Damascus. This is mentioned in almost all of our books of history. And during the journey, he began to experience a pain in his foot. And by the time he'd reached Damascus, he discovered that it was al-akala. Al-akala means gangrene. And it was so severe, by the time he reached Dimashq, Damascus, that his entire foot was consumed by this disease. So he entered into the gathering of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, who was the Khalifa of the time. And he said to him, I need you to see something. And he showed him his leg. So the Khalifa Al-Walid, he gathered his surgeons, his doctors, to assess the situation. They said, this is Al-Akala, this is gangrene, and it's a consensus, it needs to be amputated. So they brought the Jazzar. That's what the narration says. What is the Jazzar? The butcher. Who else is going to amputate the leg 1400 years ago? They brought in the butcher. And they said to Urwa, نسقيك الخمر, we need to give you a drink of alcohol to knock you out. He said, no, I will never drink something impermissible in search for well-being. Afia. They said, نسقيك المرقد, we need to give you then something that will put you to sleep. He said, I don't want a limb of mine to be taken away from me without me feeling the pain. I want the reward to be full. And as he was speaking, he saw a group of men coming into the room. He said, who are these people? They said, these will be the people who will hold you down. He said to them, inshallah, I don't think anybody will need to hold me down. And he began to praise Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. And the surgeon began. And he took out the knife and he began to cut through the skin. No anesthetic, no nothing. To cut through the skin, to cut through the muscles, to cut through the nerves, to cut through the veins, till he got to the bone. And he removes the knife and he brings now the sword. He begins to cut through the bone until the foot is completely detached. And he has not uttered a single word or flinched. Then they bring a boiling vessel of oil to seal the wound. There's no other way to do it. And they dip his leg inside of the oil and he passes out. The pain is overwhelming. Moments later, he wakes up and he finds himself wiping the sweat over his head. It's a grueling experience. And he opens his eyes and he sees the surgeons around him, the butcher, and they're carrying his foot. He said, give me the foot, please. So they gave Urwa the foot, and he kisses it. And he said, أَمَا وَالَّذِي حَمَلَنِي عَلَيْكِ. I swear by the one who carried me all throughout my life on you. إِنَّهُ لَيَعْلَمُ أَنِّي مَا مَشَيْتُ بِكِ إِلَى حَرَامٍ أَوْ مَعْصِيَةٍ. Never in my life did I use you to walk towards a sin. Then during the same journey, news was conveyed to Urwa. They said to him, we're really sorry. Your younger son, who you left back home, he was in a nearby stable and a camel kicked him. He didn't make it, he died. He didn't utter a single word of discontentment. All the way until he left Damascus, and he's now coming back to Medina, he got to an area called Wadi al-Qura, and they heard him say the words of Prophet Musa. That's all he said. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبَا. This journey of ours has been a difficult one. And then he made a dua. He said, oh Allah, I used to have 7 children. You've left me now with 6. And I used to have 4 limbs. And you've left me now with 3. فَلَئِنِ بِتَلَيْتَ فَلَقَدْ عَافَيْتَ وَلَئِنْ أَخَذْتَ فَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتَ. And so, oh Allah, if you've tested me in this way, then I remember that you've given me well-being for so many years. And if you've taken things away from me, you've left me with so much more. Allahu Akbar. And I read another narration completing this one. Ibn Khallikan mentions this in his tariq. He says that there was a group of men who came from the tribe of Abs during the same time when this incident happened. And one of those men was blind. So Al-Walid, the same Khalifa, Ibn Abd al-Malik, sees the man who was blind in their midst. He says, what's your story? What happened to your eyes? He said, I was once in a valley tending to my property. And I looked around and I realized no one has more property and wealth than me. Then subhanAllah, a sail, meaning a torrent of rain, came down from the valley and it destroyed everything that night. All of my family were dead. And all of my livestock and all of my property was leveled to the ground in one night. I was left with nothing but a camel and my youngest son. And I was attending to my camel, trying to restrain it, but it was a stubborn camel. It ran away. I chased after the camel and I heard my son screaming. I turned to my son and his head was inside of the mouth of a wolf. And he died. The wolf killed him. I turned to the camel, he kicked me straight in the face, and it burst both of my eyes. So in one night, I lost all of my money, all of my property, all of my family, and I was left nothing with a camel, but a camel and a child, and they were taken away from me as well. So Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, the Khalifa, he said to his people, take this man to Urwa, who's just lost his foot. Take this man to Urwa, so that he realizes that there are people on earth who've suffered more than him. Allahu Akbar. These were some of the stories of patience I wanted to share with you. And I wanted to also start the second part of this, but I think we will stop it here bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And the second part was about how to cultivate sabr, how to cultivate patience. And this we will cover next week. And I believe this to be one of the most important sections of the entire series. So make sure you are there. We're going to divide that session next week, inshallah, into two parts. Into matters that you need to do and matters that we need to recall and remember. And I'm hopeful that if we act by this and by those points and we live by them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will see a paradigm shift in your ability to live upon a lifestyle of sabr. Patience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. See you next week, inshallah.